told you it was going to be a bit self-indulgent this week. I've been planning this one for quite a while, and I was planning to come in with a really positive vibe. And don't get me wrong, I'm very happy. Although, I've had toothache the last few days. I saw my dentist just over 3 hours ago and had a tooth pulled. So I'm in a lot of pain, to say the least. So if this podcast seems a bit off, that is why. Nonetheless, it's my birthday and I want to make the most of it. I would say I've had a great day, but no, not with this. But I'll make up for it at the weekend. Now this is episode 165. It is the 23rd of April 2018, the 11th anniversary of my 25th birthday, also my nan's birthday, St. George's Day and Shakespeare, and also a royal birth today as well. So, overall, a fantastic day. I'm going to crack on with the diary, just to get it over and done with. That sounds awful. I don't mean to get it over and done with, but I kind of just want to go upstairs and lie down. But let's go on with the diary. Enough about me. Now, Tuesday, I moved the plants out of the greenhouse. Now, these were in a little, my little... not out, well, I moved some onions and peas out of the greenhouse into the cold frame, moved more of my little seedlings from the potting shed into the greenhouse. Just making a bit more of them. I then sowed some more peas, some runner beans, and some cannellini beans, which I've always struggled with cannellini beans, so hopefully this year we'll get a bonus winner. After that, I went into my woodshed and started cutting some stakes to build the allotment bed. Just 30 centimetres of like 2x1. Nothing special. I cut them down. I've then painted them in wood preserver paint and left them to dry outside, and I continue painting them throughout the week and leaving them to dry. So far, so good. Wednesday, I took my collection of used white plant labels that they've been used before but haven't been put into use, and I've been meaning to clean them for a while. So Wednesday, I brought them into the kitchen, into a sink of tepid water, and I used the magic eraser that you can buy from Poundland, and they are great for cleaning up those plant labels. I tend to use pencil to write on them, and they just wipe them straight off. Excuse me. They just wipe them straight off, and they are easy to use and cheap and fantastic, so I use those. Thursday night, I ran some more manure to the allotment and just placed that onto the bed. Covered that in a bit of compost. But it's I've got a lot more to do, to say the least, and time's cracking on. So I really, really got to pummel it from now on in. Saturday, my toothache started, so I was a bit struggled to do anything. I know I sound like a bit of a wimp, but if you've ever had toothache, you will understand how painful it is. But I was at home, and I spent some time just kind of tidying up. Now, I fixed another water butt, again, with the builder flash tape. That seems to work really, really well at keeping them leak-free, so I will be using that on any water butt that leaks from the seams or has cracks in it. That's been a really good tip to share with everyone, actually. It seems better than Mastic or Plumber's Mate, like I normally use. I then got a long, stiff brush and some water and just cleaned down my greenhouse, just using that. Got built up a bit of green on the outside, a bit of algae and stuff, you know. And, of course, that blocks out the light. So I just felt it was time to give it a good clean. Having the brush, now this is a brush I use for washing the van and cars, I just rinsed it out thoroughly. But because it's kind of 1.2 metre long, I guess, it's easy to reach the top of the greenhouse without too much trouble. I just used the circular motion, brushed it all round and got it going. Then rinsed it off with some clean water and, yeah, it's done the job. Inside, I also washed it around. I used a brush for a bit, but I also used a sponge to get in the corners and stuff. And it's looking a lot better. It's brought it up pretty good. And the best thing is, it used no chemicals. Really, I should have done this during the winter, but as you know, time gets upon you. After that Sunday, I headed down the allotment. Now, in the morning, I was actually feeling a bit better, and I thought, great. Took me a while to get out of bed, I think, because I was so knackered from the day before. But I got up and went down the allotment. And the first thing I did was planted out my onions that were sown on Boxing Day. And I just simply poked them into the ground, dipped a hole, pushed them in, sort of thing, gently pushed them in. And then I covered them in a mesh tunnel just to keep the birds off them. Nothing really difficult about it. Obviously, I gave them a good watering in as well. But yeah, that's really, really easy to do. After that, I got the hoe out and started hoeing down the bed. Now, this last week, I was amazed how much growth it had really put on. The asparagus had gone from like an inch thick long to 6 inches long. So much had grown. The weeds had obviously grown as well, and the grass, which I only trimmed last week, so I didn't take the trimmer down this week, but I'm planning to do it one evening this week. But yeah, everything was looking really, really good. I think the garlic and onion had put on growth as well. The rhubarb definitely has. And we've got plenty of rhubarb coming in. The wife actually made me a lovely rhubarb crumble cake, which would be delicious if I could eat it. Ah, joys. After that, I just spent a bit of time doing a bit more weeding before going home and going to bed, really. It's exhausting. I don't mean to sound negative. I apologise for that. It wore me out. And as you know, I love working on my plots. And anything that stops me is a little bit annoying. So really, that is a diary. Oh no, one more thing I forgot to mention. Now, if you read the weekly harvest report last night, well actually that was out this morning, you will see that the quail egg production has dropped slightly. Now I'm not too worried about this, it's just because I've moved them into the outdoor aviary and they're just adjusting to their new home. Once they settle in, they'll be fine. But till then, just got to be patient with them. So that is now the diary taken care of. I'm going to now read you the calendar. So the calendar reads, now that the days are becoming warmer, extra care must be taken to ensure that the soil in your containers does not dry out. Water regularly in dry weather and give weekly liquid feeds to improve or to promote strong, healthy growth early in the season. Tie in climbing and rambling roses. Yeah, I've noticed actually. I mean, the weather's definitely warmed up, and as I said in the diary, things are really growing. So I've been making a point of trying to water my pots every other day. Although the downpour we had on Friday night was very, very welcome. So carrying on with my self-indulgent theme. Now, the intro music you heard obviously was not my normal. It was a band that I really, really like. I hired for my wedding and I recorded them live singing Happy Birthday. They're called Iron Tiger. I've probably mentioned them many times before. I hope they don't mind me using their music for this. I'm sure they won't. I'll be seeing them on Saturday, so I'll just run it by them. But yeah, a bit of self-indulgence there. But carrying on the self-indulgence theme, I thought I would talk about three of my favourite gardens that I have visited. And I'm going to do them in reverse order. And some of you probably know what I'm going to say is in first place. But we'll start in third place with Audley End House in Saffron Walden. Now, this is a fantastic, fantastic building and house we went to a couple of years ago. We were up that way for a wedding, and the day after we thought we'd do a... We're English Heritage members, so we thought we'd make a few visits and make the trip worthwhile. And it's a very impressive house. Unfortunately, what exists now is only a third of the size of the original mansion that was built in about 1605 to 1614 by Thomas Howard, the first Earl of Suffolk. But it's had a lot of renovations over the year, and it still contains much of its original character, including Robert Adam and Jacobean Revival interiors. And the garden landscape has obviously been shaped by various owners over the years to contemplate the house. Now, obviously, I don't want to talk too much about the house. I really like the gardens, and I'm naturally just drawn to the vegetable gardens. Obviously, the gardens that exist now are mainly the work of two designers, Capability Brown and Robert Adam. And I don't think you can go throughout gardening without hearing of Capability Brown. Now, the estate it was on was huge. I'm trying to find how big it was, and I can't see how big it was, but it was huge. 100 acres easy. And it had a lot of flower gardens and long lawns and all that sort of thing. But of course, the vegetable gardens are where I want to go. And I was impressed with these vegetable gardens. They were stunning. They were naturally walled gardens. That was kind of Victorian, I guess. Common in Victorian houses. And that was to create microclimates to make it more favourable to growing many, many vegetables. And the kitchen garden has been restored pretty much to how it was back then. And they even grow the vegetables in there now, which I absolutely love. And of course there was greenhouses. Included a heated greenhouse, which... It had a really good feature on how the heated greenhouse would work. Now, the gardeners at the time would naturally have an understudy, a little apprentice, if you like. And the apprentice slept in a little room at the end of the sheds, which was behind the glasshouses. And it was the apprentice's duty to make sure that the fire was stoked all night long and kept going. Which is not a job I would like. If you can imagine the middle of winter having to get out of your bed and go and stoke this fire and check it was going, throw more wood in. That would heat up water, which basically radiated throughout the glasshouses. And much of this still exists to this day. It was fascinating, although it's obviously not in use. But they had dug out right down below in a massive hole where you could see all the boiler tank and everything. It was really, really cool. Now, my second place is Kew Gardens, which I visited last year around this time because we go there for my birthday. Now, Kew Gardens, I was surprised how cheap it was. I think it was something like £7 to visit, which was awesome. Most of these places, you're normally looking near 15, but Kew Gardens, £7, even parking wasn't that expensive. Now, this is London, in the near Heathrow, actually. In the you can hear the planes coming down, which was the only downside to visiting there. And the gardens, again, they were huge. I would say if you're going to go there, you need 2 days to really, really visit it. And you would take that long to walk around everything and see it all. And again, there's lots of glasshouses and lots of various Victorian things. It is stunning. But again, naturally, I am drawn to the vegetable gardens, and they did exist there. They had some, like an orchard type place, as well as the normal vegetables and practice areas for their apprentices, really. That is, they were given a plot of land to grow vegetables in as part of their learning, which I really like that. I really do. Again, these vegetable gardens were pretty stunning. My biggest complaint whenever I go to any of these gardens, including all three that I'm mentioning today, is they're not representative of what we do at home, because obviously they have a team of people that are working there Monday to Friday, probably at weekends as well. So the weeding gets done. They've got all the finances and inputs and time that we would love to have if we were growing our own. So it's not quite true to what I believe we do, but they're still fascinating to go and have a look. And Kew Gardens was no different to that. Now, I've said my last one is probably one that you're all going to be able to guess. And of course, West End Gardens. My absolute favourite garden. I go there every year for the Chilli Festival. Again, more Victorian walled gardens, which really, really do bring it to life. Lots of fantastic glasshouses. Some of them are undergoing repairs. I've put many, many videos up on YouTube about these gardens because I go there every year for the Chilli Fiesta. I will be doing videos again this year when I go. 12th of August I'm going, which is a Saturday. We normally go on a Saturday. I've got a large group of us going. But the wife is actually going to be holding the camera for me for this time. We're going to be going a bit more into it and being a bit more bolder. But yeah, the walled gardens here are stunning. And what I also like is that, yes, they grow vegetables. The vegetables get used in their garden cafe, which is how I think a lot of gardens like this should be doing it. If they can grow their food, they can sell their food. You know, that's just fantastic. Now, a little bit on West End Gardens. Now, West End Gardens in West Sussex, it claims to be one of the greatest restored gardens open to public in England, and I completely agree with that. The restoration of the garden to get it into its current state began after the storm of 1987. And since then, the garden's manager, Jim Buckland, and supervisor Sarah Wayne have carried out bold redevelopments. Now, I'm just wondering if that Jim... No, it's not. Yeah, I thought it might be one from the TV, but it's not. They've divided 90 acres of ground into four distinct areas. Garden entrance, walled kitchen garden, pleasure grounds, and St. Roche's Arboretum. Again, I tend to focus on the walled kitchen gardens, but even the other gardens are fantastic. Rivers running through them, ditches, and it is so well landscaped that it is stunning. I really, really mean that. There have been gardens on the site since 1622, when the original manor house was built by James Le Corner. In 1804, the current house was built, and the gardens was enlarged and a park laid out. And a kitchen garden was moved to its present location and enclosed by walls. Again, the walls were there to create the microclimates. Many of the existing mature beeches and limes and horse chestnuts, planes and cedars date back from that period. Frederick Barrow, who acquired the estate in 1871, continued to develop the gardens and opened them annually to the public. 20 years later, William James purchased the estate and made many improvements to a garden, including rebuilding and extending the range of glasshouses. In the walled kitchen garden, the construction of the magnificent pergola in the north lawn, plus a considerable amount of planting and refurbishment, both in the grounds and the arboretum. Now, the kitchen gardens are about 170-metre strip bordering the main road with a heavy wooded shrubbery in between. Now, on the night of the 1987, the Great Storm, I remember it well, funnily enough, even though I was only not old enough. I'm 25 with 11 years experience when I remember. Yeah, there were 60 large mature trees uprooted in a few hours. But thankfully, they was replanted and a walk was put in. And it's really, really stunning. So there we go. That is my three favourite gardens. And I really, really highly recommend a visit to all three of them. Now, as I said, I am going to the Chili Fiesta in 12th of August. If anybody else is interested in going, please get in touch and we'll have a meet-up, whether it's coffee on the lawn or something, and I'd love to do that. I'm considering going to the Gardener's World Live. I've had an email from a listener seeing if I would be interested in a meet-up. I'm seriously considering it, and I will be in touch if I do. And again, if anybody else is interested in going to that, get in touch. We'll have a bit of a meet-up. I'm going to wrap up now. My mouth is starting to really ache. I'm pleased I've got through this, to say the least. I thought it was going to be a struggle, especially as earlier today I couldn't open my jaw very wide. So, yeah, things are great. Anyway, thank you very much for this, and thank you for letting me be so self-indulgent. I don't normally like to make a big fuss on my birthday, but I felt like it this year, despite all the bad stuff, but yeah. So until next time, please take care. If you've enjoyed this, share it on Twitter. I will be starting some competitions soon, especially if you share the podcast and get more people listening. I'll be really grateful for that. So until next time, please take care, and I'll see you again then.